This is Kids These Days.
As a kid, when you were asked what you were going to be when you grew up, what did you say? Is it the same things kids say today? Does our tendency to ask this question help define our American culture? And what happens when you're all grown up and you just don't know what you want to do? That's what we're talking about today on Kids These Days. It's When I Grow Up. This hour, we'll go to school, kindergarten, fourth grade, high school, and college to find out how kids of different ages answer the When I Grow Up question. In the studio with me, I'm chatting with local experts in psychology and anthropology. Also this hour, Kids These Days contributor Jessica Cochran sits down with a couple of guests who both help young adults and adults alike who don't know what they want to be when they grow up. And we'll learn about a statewide organization that's trying to attach a special meaning and encourage action on Alaska Day. All that on today's Kids These Days. Hi, I'm Shanna Sheehy, host of Kids These Days. When I Grow Up, that's what we're talking about today on the program. And we're going to have some fun exploring this idea from a bunch of different angles. You're invited to take part in our discussion. Call anytime. That's 1-888-583-7234. That's 888-KTD-RADIO. With me today in the studio are two gentlemen who join us from down the street at the University of Alaska Anchorage. Dr. Carrie Feldman is Professor Emeritus for the UAA Anthropology Department. Dr. Feldman has done applied anthropology for more than 30 years in Alaska, and he started with work in the Philippines. He teaches psychological anthropology at UAA, at least before he retired in December 2009. Thanks so much for being with us today, Dr. Feldman.
It's a real pleasure, Shanna.
And Dr. E.J. David is an assistant professor with the UAA Psychology Department. His training is in clinical community psychology, and he specializes in cross-cultural psychology. Thanks so much for being with us today, Dr. David.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Well, we're talking today about what I'm going to be when I grow up. When you grow up, what will you be? So let me jump into this conversation with this question, and that is, I'm presuming here, the premise is that this question, hey, Billy, you know, you're 5 years old, what do you want to be when you grow up? That we, as Americans, ask this question, as Alaskans, we ask this question. Is that premise true? Is this something that's unique to who we are as a culture?
It's kind of peculiarly American. I don't know if it's American, it's kind of Western.
Okay. And
we're sort of a youth-oriented culture, so in most cultures of the world, they ask a child, you know, what will you do for your group? It's more oriented towards responsibility, mm-hmm. towards the group. And
so the question is, what will you do for your group
yeah,
versus what
yeah,
do you want to do for
Native,
yourself?
Especially with Alaska Native, and most, in China, you run into that, and in Japan, and Africa, South America, and I asked this question of some of my students I happened to run into because I knew I was going to be on this show. A Native man said, we were taught to listen, not necessarily think about what you're going to do for yourself, but what are you going to do for the group? And every Native person that I run into at UAA is not asking, how can I make a lot of money and be rich? But I want to get this degree so I can help my people. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually agree very much with what Dr. Feldman just said there. I think it's, with the Western culture, it's typically categorized as an individualistic culture. And so there's a lot of focus on personal goals and, rising above the rest and standing out and expressing yourself and so forth. So it's a very individualistic culture. There's your personal goals, in a way, holds priority over what everybody else wants, which is very unlike what a lot of people will consider to be collectivistic cultures, mm-hmm. which, like Dr. Feldman said, it's the group goals that takes priority over personal goals. And even in psychology, historically, we all know the concept of self-esteem, which really is how we evaluate our personal characteristics positively, right? And there's a lot of emphasis on that as we're raising our kids nowadays. It's always about making sure that we protect and raise our children's self-esteem. But our understanding of self-esteem is actually very Western also, in that a big part of who we are is not just, part of who we are is our personal characteristics and personal traits. But a big part of our self-concept is also the characteristics of the social group that we belong to. And so really, we also need to pay attention to our collective selves and collective self-esteem, which is the extent to which we evaluate the characteristics of the groups that we belong to,
mm-hmm.
and also the how our groups sees us.
Does our Western culture mm-hmm. have questions around that idea? Like, do we ask ourselves and ask our children as we raise them questions about how do you fit into the greater picture, to the greater group?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, again, with the Western culture, it's, you know, we believe that it all rests upon the individual. Like, if you just work hard enough, if you persevere, if you're dedicated, if you're motivated, that you're going to be successful in the society of ours. You know, but we also need to also think about the barriers there, though, in that we cannot deny the fact that there are social inequalities and unequal access to resources, unequal access to opportunities for a lot of, especially a lot of minority kids, that even though, you know, they might have their own personal dreams that they want to pursue, I'm not sure it's completely fair for us to believe that it rests solely upon them to achieve those goals and those dreams that they have, because there are other social barriers, really, and social factors that can influence whether or not they become successful in those dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the things we look at is called the value of children, and it's kind of strange to Westerners that you could study this, but it is a culturally derived value. There is no intrinsic value that a child has around the world. And depending on the economic situation, you know, or depending on your political situation, belief systems, the value of children goes up or down. I mean, when I did my research in the Philippines, these women were having 6 live births per woman mm-hmm. with 10 pregnancies. I tried to find out, well, why do you want to have 6? And so that the first 2 years are hard to get through. The kids die. There was no sanitary water in this town of 400,000 where I did mm-hmm. research. Mm-hmm. And they want someone to take care of them when they're old. Mm-hmm. They don't have Social Security. And their husbands had this macho thing that I have to have 6 or I'm not a man. Mm-hmm. And in Japan, you know, we went down to having 1 kid for a variety of reasons. So the value of children is we think, culturally derived. One of the differences between, like, psychology or clinical psychology with Dr. David, I think, is that they attempt ideally to be normative. That is, how should a child be raised? I'm not saying Dr. David does that. But in anthropology, we're not normative. We just want to find out what's there. What is the cultural difference and variation
mm-hmm.
Rather than being normative?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about kids, so let's hear from a few. Even the youngest school children have begun thinking about their futures. We found this out as we went out into local schools this last week. Kids These Days producer Sarah Gonzalez went to Creekside Park Elementary, and she asked kindergartners and first graders what it is that they want to be when they grow up.
I want to be a firefighter because I want to help people to put out fires and to get the children out of the fire.
I'm a Girl Scout because I make cookies.
I like to be a doctor because I want to help people feel better.
I want to be a princess because I went to Disneyland before.
I want to be a policeman. I want to be a policeman. They can get all the bad people.
I want to be a fashion designer.
What kind of clothes do you want to design?
Skirts and dresses and shirts and pants, jackets with diamonds and pearls.
A doctor. An astronaut. Go in space and explore the moon.
And do they have to wear special clothes for their job?
Yes. They have to wear helmets and suits and backpacks that hold them down on the moon so they don't float away.
I want to be a dentist.
What do dentists do?
They clean teeth and they give you shiny teeth like these.
I want to be a jet flyer because
They make a lot of money. And I really want to be in a jet.
Do you know what jet flyers wear?
Army suits, heavy gear, and that's all I know.
So those were some of the future ambitions of kindergartners and first graders at Creekside Park Elementary. So we heard some fun things, right? Mm-hmm. Firefighters, police officers, men and women, dentist, a princess.
As I was listening to those kids, it made me think about myself and my friends as a kid. So as we were growing up, and I was trying to think about, well, you know, what would my friends say? And they might have said a lot of those things, but mainly growing up in the Philippines, I think a lot of kids, like what Dr. Feldman mentioned earlier, not just the Philippines, but in a lot of other non-Western countries, it doesn't really matter what we end up doing when we're older. Many of us, unfortunately enough, just dream of moving to the United States or some other Western country to make enough money so we can send it back home. It's more about, surviving. That's what it is. It's about surviving.
And Dr. E.J. Divi, just to make sure listeners understand, you were born in the Philippines.
I was born and raised in the Philippines.
And you moved to Alaska.
Barrow, Alaska.
And
yes.
How old were you when that happened?
I was 14 years old when I moved to Barrow, Alaska. And so I was thinking about my experiences in the Philippines and how many of us there probably just wanted to leave the Philippines and make money. It doesn't matter what we're doing to make money, but make money so that we can send it back home and survive with our families.
So that question, when I grow up question, isn't really one that was necessarily asked same way?
I think it's asked.
Okay.
And I think people have personal dreams. Even though the Philippines, again, is considered to be a collectivistic culture, people are still individuals. And we all have individual and personal dreams. But I think, taking care of the family takes priority over achieving your own personal goals.
There was another thing I found in the Philippines, see if it's still going on there, and it's called over-education. That is, you could get a college degree, but it really didn't lead to a job. Mm-hmm. It's more depends on who you know.
Mm-hmm.
And is that still
Yeah, it's
true?
It's actually the Philippines in terms of education level. It's way up there. A lot of people actually go to college and graduate mm-hmm. from college.
But it doesn't necessarily guarantee you a job. Not that that's the case in this country either.
Yeah,
though.
And I think a lot of it is a lot of people there are going to school and getting college training, again, with the hopes of getting a job somewhere else sending back money to the Philippines. And then, like you mentioned earlier, I did move to Barrow, Alaska, so I was exposed with a totally different culture up there.
Yeah.
So I think about my friends over there, and I think about, well, what did they want to be when they grow up? And I think about, regarding their culture, a lot of them probably wanted to grow up to be hunters, to be mm-hmm. whaling captains, mm-hmm. To be just good providers also. Not necessarily to become a doctor or become a fireman or, become a ballerina or anything else. It's more consistent with their culture up there. So I think about myself and other Filipinos. I think about, the native culture up in Barrow and my friends over there and what they wanted to be when they grew up. And then it brought me to, what about my son? I have a little 14-month-old right now, who is Filipino, Athabascan, and also white, right? And so, I think about, what would he want to be when he grows up, he can choose really anything from all those different cultures and the influences of those cultures in terms of how he shapes who he wants to be. And so he's going to probably be a very confused individual.
Is it universal, possibly? And I know, we probably can't say here definitively if something is universal, but the idea that a child would spend some time and be encouraged by his elders, his or her elders, to think about the child's future self and how that future self fits into the world at large. Is that a universal thing we all ask our kids to do?
There's a concern about it. But most of our Western norms are assumed on the nuclear family, that there's a mom and a dad and their home. In most cultures in the world, the extended family mm-hmm. has as much influence, if even more so, on the kid than the parents do. Everyone's concerned about the kid. But here's another major difference. In the Western world, we have the belief that you have one person, one soul.
Mm-hmm.
In many cultures, you have the belief in the recycling of a soul. So this child is not an individual, unique person. Hmm. This child is somebody that died who's come back. And you do find this in traditional Alaska Native culture, so that a mother might give the name to a child of her father, dead father, grandparent. And so the mother waits to see what the grandparent is going to say or do. They're not going to tell them what they're going to do. It's much too arrogant for many cultures in the world to assume that you know what you're going to do and then you're going to go do it. It's absurd, actually. But in the Western world, we have the notion of one person, one soul, and when it dies, that soul goes someplace. And, you know, if some cultures believe in 33 souls. Recycling. So
yeah, your expectation of a child, if you believe that about them, would be very different.
Very different. Like, your goal in life is not to be reborn, or you know, for a little girl in Buddhist society, I mean, your goal in life is to come back as a man, because you can't achieve nirvana if your soul is in a girl. So you know, these are huge.
So some of these goals are things that you could never actually achieve in your lifetime anyway.
It would be absurd, and it would be arrogant. Yeah, to say I'm going to do this in the future, they have much more respect for the realities of life and for, it's for adapting and adjusting rather than control. Westerners have also our notion of control of nature. It goes back to the way we interpret the first book of Genesis, that people are here to control the world. This is foreign to most people. We're not here to control anything.
Well, Dr. E.J. David, do you, with your background in psychology, sort of have a take on what Dr. Feldman was just talking about?
I actually would like to add a little bit more to what Dr. Feldman was talking about. You know, oftentimes when you go against the group norms or what your family wants you to be, and you leave the family and you pursue your own dreams, oftentimes, you know, not encouraged, and you can almost be disowned by your family because you're not fulfilling a role that was prescribed to you by, you know, your immediate family there, or it could be your extended family too, like what Dr. Feldman was saying. And I think we don't have to go very far geographically to look for examples of that. For example, there's been a rise of Alaska Native professionals, like, since the 1970s, professionals in the sense that they were educated and trained in a more Western way, and oftentimes they're actually met with suspicion and sometimes hostility by a lot of the Native communities that they came from, primarily because they pursued something that was, you know, probably not part of what the cultural group wanted them to be. So, you know, so we don't have to look very far for examples.
Well, I'd like to also share with you guys something that came in from one of our Kids These Days community members. This came in by email from Karen, who lives in Anchorage. And she says, quote, "When parents set the expectation for a child to graduate from high school, that child is more likely to graduate. This expectation shouldn't start happening in high school. It needs to start in kindergarten with conversations that continue throughout the grades. Children who are raised in a community where there aren't many job choices should also be encouraged to explore all the different career choices available in our world. Mm-hmm. With technology, some jobs can be done remotely, meaning the person doesn't have to leave his or her remote community to find work. If our children aren't exposed to a variety of career choices as they are growing up, then they're being cheated." And I thought of this as Dr. David was just talking about how in the Alaska Native community, some people have gone and achieved advanced degrees and so forth and gone this sort of professional Western route, and maybe the opportunities in the village are there, aren't there, the perception of those choices are somewhat different than we might expect. Mm-hmm. I'd like to remind listeners that this is Kids These Days, and it's on this listener-supported station. It's a community conversation about youth and family issues that affect all of us here. Call us with your thoughts. That's 888-583-7234 or 888-KTD-RADIO. You can send us a message to mail@kidsthesedays.org, and today today I'm speaking with Dr. E.J. David and Dr. Carrie Feldman, and we're talking about When I Grow Up. And we were just talking about children as agents in culture, and you mentioned the age of 10, and I think that's a perfect time for us to hear a piece that I produced about what kids who are in fourth and fifth grade want to be when they grow up. So I went out to Chester Valley Elementary this week, and I spoke with the 9, 10, and 11-year-olds who are part of Mr. Montz's fourth, fifth combined class.
Go into that. So I need you to get yourself ready to go. Would you please tidy up your desk?
How old are you?
10.
And what do you want to be when you grow up?
A writer.
An artist and an animal saver.
A judge. Because I like people to get justice, and if they didn't do it, too, they can have a right to prove themselves.
Sniper.
Have you always wanted to be a sniper?
Yep.
What makes you want to be a sniper?
To protect our country. A video game maker.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
A vet.
I want to be a veterinarian.
A zookeeper or a veterinarian or a heart doctor. Because I love animals and I want to help animals, and because of a doctor, I want to help people so they can be more healthy.
I want to be a veterinarian and an astronaut.
Why are you choosing those things?
Because I love animals and I think it would be so cool to be able to go up in space.
It's either a vice president or a chef.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be in the NHL.
I want to be a doctor.
A actor.
Singer. A professional football player.
Have you ever wanted to be anything other than that?
Sometimes I wanted to be a police officer and a teacher.
I want to be a forensic scientist.
A children's doctor at Providence.
I'm going to get a job from Toys R Us.
Oh, you work in a toy store?
I want to go there. I've never been one.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
A pro soccer player.
A penguin professor.
A penguin professor? Mm-hmm. So what does that mean?
Studies a penguin.
Really?
Other things like that.
Let me guess, you're still recording?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So those were fourth and fifth graders in Mr. Montz's class at Chester Valley Elementary in East Anchorage. And that last kid, he wanted to be a professor, and I'm here today with two professors, Professor E.J. David and also Professor Emeritus Carrie Feldman. So there were some fun answers in there, and I was sort of struck by how well off the animals will be in our future, because there's going to be a lot of vets out there. Dr. David.
Yeah, you know, and again, you know, we try so hard to send the message to our kids that they can be whatever they want. Doesn't matter if they're a boy or a girl. Doesn't matter if they're white or not white. They can be whatever they want in this country of ours, right? But again, the reality is, you know, we have unequal distributions of resources and opportunities. We have biases, we have prejudices, we have stereotypes, we have discrimination in this country. And so, you know, a lot of times these kids, when they grow up, you know, they start facing these barriers. Mm-hmm. And many of them might realize that, no, you know, I cannot be whatever I want. You know, and I think one factor that really plays a big part on this is role models. I mean, you can see really the inequalities between races. I'm just going to stay there, between different racial groups, in terms of who's in power, you know, who's on top and who's not in power, who's in the bottom. Mm-hmm. You know, and when kids, you know, see that people who don't look like them are the ones in power, you know, they see that, they can potentially see that as a barrier. They don't see any role models that they can follow. They might not even see that as an opportunity anymore or as a possibility anymore for them to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, yes, you know, we individually, or at least in individual families, we try to send these messages that our kids can be whatever they want in this country, but at the same time, we cannot ignore the reality mm-hmm. that there are larger sociopolitical barriers out there for a lot of other kids.
You know, one other thing I read a lot about, and I've talked to a lot of people about, the role of the mother. I mean, there's so many women who come from lower, whatever their race, socio, mm-hmm. you know, non-advantaged, mm-hmm. and African-American, Hispanic, Native American, and they made they achieved a career, and you ask them, how'd you do this? Mm-hmm. My mother believed in me. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I like to hear them say my father believed in me, but the role of the mother And her refusal to not believe in that kid really gives them power. So I just want to mention that as a variable.
Well, while we still have time, let's hear from some older kids, some high school kids who are in this sort of window where kids are deselecting things. Maybe they haven't decided what it is that they want to do, but they're getting to a point where they're kind of saying, well, that's not for me. Mm-hmm. I can't do that. I haven't seen role models that show me that that's possible. Mm-hmm. Our producer, Sarah Gonzalez, recently went to Service High School, and she asked teenagers there what they want to be when they grow up.
When I grow up, I definitely want to be a lawyer because I love helping people. And being a lawyer is a good way to help people solve their problems and to teach them their rights and stuff like that.
Well, I would like to be a psychologist because I like to help people.
I want to be a politician when I grow up. I think that that's like the best way to change stuff and make the world a better place. And so I think that's like the best job you could ever have.
I want to be a special ed teacher.
Why do you want to be a special ed teacher?
I work with the kids in high school right now, and I just enjoy it.
I want to be a professional basketball player.
So why do you want to be that?
Because like right now, when I'm on a travel team and we travel, and this year I went to LA, and I was the only freshman to make top 90 out of 500 players, including seniors and everybody, and 300 college scouts looked at me.
I want to be a nurse or a medical technician.
A cop. My sister's a cop, and I like watching cops all the time and that kind of stuff, so it just sparked my interest.
I want to be an engineer, and to get there, I would like to go to college. It's going to be a lot of studying and a lot of hard work, but I'm hoping I'll get there.
If I had to choose something, I would say bodybuilding, because I do that here in Alaska. I mean, it's not that big, but I'd say like go down to Lower 48 and do something type like that.
Thinking of doing welding or some type of construction.
When I grow up, I want to be a special ed psychologist because I like helping people and I want to make a change in like the special ed department.
That was our producer, Sarah Gonzalez, talking with students at Service High School. Well, Dr. E.J. David, are there any final thoughts you might have about the idea of when I grow up and how that applies to us and who we are as people here in Alaska?
Oh, wow. What a question. final ideas that I want to add. I think, you know, especially here in Alaska, Alaska, more particularly Anchorage, it is a very, very diverse place, racially, ethnically, and culturally. We probably are, you know, one of the most diverse states and cities in the country. And I think we all need to keep that in mind. And that because of the diversity that exists among us, we have different values and different cultures and different beliefs in terms of what we think are most appropriate for us and for our kids to be when they grow up. And like you mentioned, Shannon, and based on your interviews there with kids, I think deep down, all of us want to contribute something positive to our society. You know, we all want to help our society in some way, but we may be different culturally, racially, ethnically in terms of our ideas to how to meet that, how to serve the communities that are important to us in the best possible way. So we should all just respect that and try not to impose, you know, one set of beliefs on other people who may not believe it.
How about you, Dr. Feldman?
I was thinking it's really great for parents to provide an environment for a child in which the parent is still growing, you know, and if the parent is aware that they're not a fixed product, that they're a process and that it's exciting and challenging, they'll provide a better environment for a child who's doing the same thing. I mean, in the end, that's life is a process. I mean, you're a product if you think you are. But to keep open in your own life and to provide that kind of environment for your child.
Well, Dr. Carrie Feldman and Dr. E.J. David, I want to thank both of you for being with me today on Kids These Days.
Thank you, and good luck with the show. Great show.
Thank you very much. I had fun.
I've been speaking with Dr. Carrie Feldman, UAA Professor Emeritus of Anthropology, and Dr. E. J. David, UAA Assistant Professor of Psychology. This is Kids These Days right here on this listener-supported station. This hour, we're talking about when I grow up and all that can mean for kids, families, and adults today. Coming up in the next half of the show, Kids These Days contributor Jessica Cochran sits down with UAA's Linda Morgan and Roger Hamaker of Nine Star Enterprises. We'll also hear how college kids and some adults answer the when I grow up question. And we'll find out about a push to recognize teenagers for their good works on Alaska Day. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute.
When I grow up, I could be a fireman. When I grow up, I could be a doctor. When I grow up, I could be whatever I want, whatever I want. When I grow up, I could be an astronaut and fly a rocket ship into outer space. When I grow up, I could be whatever I want, whatever I want. When I grow up, I could be a master chef and cook all kinds of really tasty food. When I grow up, I could be a scientist, a scientist. What do you wanna be when you grow up? You can do anything when you grow up. What do you wanna be when you grow up?
Whether it was directly deposited in your bank account or printed on a paper check that comes in the mail, the Alaska Permanent Fund dividends are here. Just look at the newspaper and watch TV to see all the places you can spend your PFD. So what do you do with your PFD? And here's another question. What do you do with your kids' PFD? From spending to saving to investing, that's what's coming up next on Kids These Days. I'll be in the studio with a nationally known family and children's financial advisor and author. Neil Godfrey will be answering your questions. Call 1-888-KTD-RADIO. That's 583-7234 and leave a message for the program now. We'll learn about local programs for kids to learn about money management, and we'll hear from kids themselves about their PFD plans. I'm Shanna Sheehy, and it's Money Savvy Kids and Families next time on Kids These Days. That's Tuesday at 2 right here on KSKA. Kids These Days is talking about when I grow up today. What did you want to be? What are you now? Why did it stay the same, or why did it change? Have you become dozens of things in your lifetime? Let us know your story. Write to us at mail@kidsthesedays.org or call 1-888-KTD-RADIO. That's 888-583-7234. In the first half of the show, we heard from kindergartners, fourth and fifth graders, and high school students about what they want to be when they grow up. So what about grown-ups themselves? I recently walked around the student union at UAA and asked students and staff that same question.
I'm 26, but still I have a lot to learn.
So what do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm thinking of going for aviation and the U.S. Army.
Dimitri, I'm 20 years old.
And are you grown up?
I don't know. I guess you can say that.
So what do you want to be now that you're all grown up?
I want to be a filmmaker.
Did you always want to do that, or did you ever want to do something else, like when you were a little or a kid?
Well, of course, like be a firefighter, but that's like everyone's dream when they're a little kid, you know?
John Godsey.
Do you consider yourself grown up?
Pretty much.
So what's your profession? What do you do?
I'm a heating ventilation guy, HVAC.
What did you say when people asked you what you wanted to be when you grew up when you were a kid?
A guide in Alaska. Oh, yeah, I was a guide for a long time.
Oh, so this is a second career or maybe a third or fourth?
Fourth career. Crab fisherman, plumber, carpenter, guide.
So then if you're the HVAC guy, then that's five.
Roger that.
Did you think when you were a little kid that you would have five different professions?
Oh, I knew I wasn't ever going to work in a factory. That much I knew. Anything but but have a real job. And now I've successfully lived my life, and I have a real job now.
So is that an accomplishment or not?
We'll ask my wife.
Annie?
And Annie, are you a grown-up?
Sometimes.
What did you want to be when you grew up, when you were a kid?
A nun. Isn't that funny? Not for long, but a teacher, a diplomat. Yeah, those are the things I wanted to be. Well, sometimes I feel like those things. I am a teacher. I'm very diplomatic. I'm not very nun-like, though.
Hi, my name's Caroline. I wanted to be a teacher when I was a kid. And I am going to school to be an elementary education teacher. So I'm still pursuing that childhood dream.
I'm not sure yet. Still deciding.
Those were the voices of students and staff at UAA. So as we just heard from some of the more mature people featured just now, many have had multiple careers in their lives, which is pretty typical these days. And many of the college-age students knew what they were striving for in school, but like that last woman we heard from, sometimes figuring out what to do and how to get there is a little bit more difficult. Kids These Days contributor Jessica Cochran spoke to two people who help young people and older adults figure out the steps they need to take to get on track for figuring out and becoming what it is they want to be.
My name is Linda Morgan, and my title is I'm the director of the Advising and Testing Center on the UAA's campus. And basically, we work with students who are enrolling as degree-seeking students at UAA, but they're undeclared, meaning they haven't selected a major, and they're trying to identify a career pathway so that they can earn their degree in a timely manner. Luckily, most students end up taking the general education requirements, so your average college student has about a year and a half to make that decision before they get too much off track.
My name is Roger Hammaker. I'm with Nine Star Enterprises. I am the Youth Services Employment Director. We primarily work with youth between the ages of 14 all the way up to the age of 24, and we're really focused on at-risk youth, and that could mean they're homeless, maybe they've dropped out of school, maybe they have some other issues that are getting in the way of them being successful.
Maybe we'll start with you, Roger. Do you work with people who know what they want to do as well as people who have no idea? Or what would you say primarily coming in?
Well, a lot of the young people that come in to our offices don't really have an idea of what they want to do. That said, we do have some young people that come in and they have a pretty clear idea of what it is they want to do. One of the benefits of our program is we do allow for career exploration. So let's say a young person comes into our office and believes they want to be a welder. One of the benefits of our program is we can actually set up what we call an internship, where we put one of these young people in that environment as a welder. Maybe they're not working as a welder because they're too young, but perhaps they are around that type of atmosphere. The people who work in that field, they're actually seeing it happen, and then they can maybe make a more informed decision as to whether this is the right track for them to go on or not.
So do you ever have people who do maybe several internships before they find the right track?
Yes, we certainly do. We also have a lot of career assessment options available, too. Sometimes a young person who comes in and doesn't know what they want to do, we will put them through a career assessment. Basically, it's an interest assessment, kind of lays out what it is they like to do and where that matches up with jobs that are out there, and we can maybe then lead a young person in that direction. And sometimes that does entail, okay, well, you're going to intern here, and then maybe 2 months later you're going to intern somewhere else and just try to find something that you enjoy. And a lot of times they find stuff that they don't like, and so we go through this reverse process of finding out what it is you want to do. You think you want to be a welder, you get in the environment, and you realize, okay, this is absolutely the wrong thing for me. And so then we can move on to something else. And the young person doesn't spend a lot of time getting prepared academically to go on for training without actually having experience in the field. So that's definitely a benefit sometimes.
Linda, how about you? Do the majority of people you work with come in knowing, you know, basically what they want to do, or totally not knowing?
I would say almost all of the students that we deal with are not really clear in terms of their career path in life. But that's primarily because of the target populations we serve, undeclared students, and also students pursuing the Associate of Arts degree. They know they want a college degree, but they're really not sure exactly how they're going to apply this degree in terms of the job market, how they're going to take advantage of their degree in the job market. So choosing a career is a very complex process for most people. There's five different stages that we help them through. Like stage one is simply learning more about themselves. And as Roger mentioned, we also use career assessment instruments in our office, particularly the strong interest inventory, which is based on Holland's theory that the careers that we choose are very related to our personality, our choices in terms of what we like to do and what we don't like to do. So we use the strong interest inventory to help students identify their likes and dislikes. We've also made use of the Myers-Briggs personality type assessment. And we have this report that combines the results of both the strong interest inventory and the Myers-Briggs together so that we can look at career choices not only from what you like and don't like, but also careers that are more suited to your personality type. So that helps students to narrow down their choices a little bit more. Then another stage, of course, is the research stage, where students have to actually go online and learn information about a lot of these different occupations. You know, things like what does the job market look like in that field? What do you actually do on a day-to-day basis in that field? What salary do you earn? What are the educational requirements? And as they do this research, they tend to narrow down some of their choices. And then we also have to tell them how to go about making a decision, because there's a process. You know, you look at the pluses and minuses of different careers. And then when they reach that point, usually the Career Services Office at UAA will get involved and help them prepare resumes and help them with the job market and also maybe show them some internship opportunities. So it's a process, and it takes a while. It's not something that a person can just come in and talk to a counselor one time and voila, we, you know, have an answer.
So I went to a liberal arts college, and so we did that process at, like, you know, the end of senior year after you've been there almost 4 years, and mine came out and said I should be, like, a florist or an undertaker, and, you know, I never really took it any farther than that because that seemed so not suited for me. So do you usually work with people earlier in the process or earlier in their...
Right. It all starts in the first semester of their freshman year. In fact, right now we're sending out emails and videos to all of our students, really kind of encouraging them to get started on the process. And we have an online instrument that just tries to identify what stage they're at. And they can set up an individual appointment to get started, but we also have a course. It's called Introduction to Career Exploration. It's a one-credit course, and it goes through just about everything you need to know in terms of choosing a career. Kind of like many people are familiar with the book called What Color Is My Parachute? I think it came out maybe 10 years ago or longer. That is a very comprehensive guide to how does a person go about choosing a career. We like to call it a career pathway because we recognize that most people will actually change jobs in terms of what they do three times in their lifetime. Like, for example, when I started out, I wanted to be an elementary school teacher. Well, I'm still on the same pathway. I'm still in education, but I'm no longer an elementary school teacher. And we try to help students see it that way because sometimes there's a lot of hesitancy about choosing a career because they think like they're engraving their future in stone, and careers really evolve as a person evolves and their interests change.
Well, speaking of changing and as you mentioned, sort of changing what you do several times in your lifetime, you said that you work with a lot of older students as well, not necessarily the right out of high school, right into college students. Is there anything different about your approach when you're working with those older students?
Absolutely, because the older students that we work with are generally people who are needing to get back into the workforce rather quickly, or they're trying to get out of the field they're in into something else rather quickly. So we don't really have the luxury of 2 to 4 years to work on it. We look at it in a more practical way. What can I do in a relatively short period of time to get myself retrained for another field? That doesn't mean that we don't do some exploration and some research on various fields, but the timeline is much shorter. So we really have to work on it in a different sort of way.
And Roger Hammaker, Nine Star also has programs working with older people, not the people who fall under your youth employment program. Can you tell me a little bit about some of those options?
We do have a couple programs. One is called the MAST program, which is Mature Alaskans Seeking Skills Training. It's for people 55 and older, generally people who are either already retired and looking to get back into the workforce or maybe looking for a career change. It's an opportunity for them to get some new skills training and then move into a different career or a new job. We also have the CPR program, which is the Coalition for Prisoner Reentry, which is specifically designed to support individuals coming out of the prison system and looking to get back into the workforce or into training. We also work with clients who are on ATAP or temporary assistance, with generally the sole focus being to get into the workforce as well.
Well, in your opinions, when's the right time for people to start thinking about what they want to be when they grow up? You want to start, Roger?
Well, I think you can start as young as you want, really. You know, the more thought and time you put into looking at all your available options, the more informed your decision will be ultimately when you have to get down to the point of spending thousands of dollars to go to school or for training. I think a place like Nine Star is good for someone who really doesn't know what it is they may want to do, because we certainly can help that process a little bit in a variety of different ways.
Jessica, I'm really glad you asked that question because I really wanted to address that, particularly in light of the theme of this show is talking about kids and growing up. What do I want to be? It's really actually the biggest clue for a counselor just sitting there talking to an individual about what they might want to get into in their life to make a living is to ask some questions about their childhood. What did they say to people when people would say, what do you want to be when you grow up? Some of the experiences that people have in their childhood are very important foundational experiences to choosing careers later on in life. And in terms of advice to parents, when children are between the ages of 5 and 12, for example, the more experiences you can give them with people from different occupations, talk to people that you meet, you know, at the grocery store or at the doctor's office or whatever. Talk to your children about the work that people do. Give them experiences themselves. If they're interested in chasing frogs or you know, looking at rocks. Those are meaningful things. Those are meaningful clues. Every time I meet a person for the first time, I always ask them that question, and I always feel like what they're telling me is really a clue to their inner personality. And those experiences seem to be really important.
Well, thank you to both so much for being here, Linda Morgan and Roger Hammaker. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
That's KTD's Jessica Cochran speaking with Linda Morgan, director of UAA's Advising and Testing Center, and Roger Hammaker, director of Youth Employment Services for Nine Star. You can link to their websites and other employment services through us at kidsthesedays.org.
When I grow up, I want to be a forester, run through the moss on high heels. That's what I'll do. Throwing out a boomerang, waiting for it to come back to me. Yeah.
have big plans to celebrate Alaska Day this year, if you're like most Alaskans, then you probably haven't given it much thought. But the statewide Spirit of Youth organization has a new idea that will make this October 18th a day to mark on your calendars. Spirit of Youth is dedicated to creating, promoting, and recognizing youth involvement in communities across Alaska, and they've launched a campaign that aims to associate Alaska Day with nominating a teenager for one of their service awards. Kids These Days producer Sarah Gonzalez spoke with Karen Zeman, the executive director, and with Aviva Hirsch, a teenager who won the award a few years ago.
So I'm excited about this Alaska Day campaign, and people may not know Alaska Day is October 18th.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know about it when I moved here, and it took me by surprise, and I sort of asked, what do people do for Alaska Day? Where's the party? And basically the response was there's not a whole lot going on, that some cities around the state had celebrations, but in general it was the state holiday that didn't have a celebration connected to it.
Okay, so like the original date is when we established statehood. Is
exactly.
Okay, so that's the purpose, the original purpose. But
to celebrate the founding of the state.
But the new purpose, which Spirit of Youth is doing, is what? Tell me about that.
Well, it really gave me this idea that we could connect this date in folks' minds, the October 18th date, with the idea of nominating a young person through the Spirit of Youth recognition campaign. A lot of people have heard about Spirit of Youth. They've heard the stories on the radio. They've seen stories on the news. And they have every intention of nominating a teen for recognition, but they just don't take the few minutes that they need to sit down at the computer and complete the recognition on spiritofyouth.org. So we're having a big promotion, we're having a special event, some public service announcements to try to share the message that you can celebrate Alaska on October 18th by celebrating a young person that you know.
So let's back up just a little bit and talk about what exactly the Spirit of Youth nominations and awards are. When did this get started and why was it started originally?
Spirit of Youth has been around since 1997, and it actually began with just a group of concerned citizens who had met to examine the issue of risky teen behavior in the Anchorage community. And a young man spoke up and said, why is it that when somebody does something wrong, it's front page news, but a lot of us are doing great things every day and you never hear about it? So that was the seed of this idea that we need to improve how the media is portraying teens and get some positive messages out there about teens, because they're a great part of our community and they're
Absolutely.
Definitely giving back. So anyone can nominate a teen ages 12 through 19. This program runs around the state, and they can just simply go on to spiritofyouth.org and make the nomination. And every young person is recognized. They all receive a congratulation packet from the organization, and they're recognized through their local school board. And really, you can nominate teens in 11 different categories, virtually any area that teens might be contributing in, giving back to their community, or being involved in positive activities is going to be worthy of Spirit of Youth recognition.
Aviva Hirsch won the Spirit of Youth Award when she was 12 years old for working with a women's shelter in Homer. She's now 17, and she is on the Spirit of Youth Teen Advisory Council. Aviva, tell us about what you did at the women's shelter in Homer that won you the Spirit of Youth Award.
There's a lot of adults working in the shelter, and they definitely spend a lot of time with the other adults who came into the shelter and could relate to them. And there's a lot of kids there who didn't really have anyone to rely on, and their moms were just coming out of the same situation, maybe even affected a little bit more, affected more since they were older. And these kids didn't really have someone to speak to and advocate for them. So it took another view in the whole system to really bring that aspect out, and that's what I did.
What is the rationale? What is the reason behind recognizing youth?
Sure, people may not realize that recognition is a really powerful tool. It's a simple way that we can make a big impact on the lives of young people. We have found, and research has found, that recognition decreases the chances that a young person is going to engage in risky behavior. increases school success, and really helps young people be motivated to achieve their goals. Some people take it for granted because we were recognized a lot throughout our youth and maybe through our education, but there's a lot of teens out there that aren't getting that pat on the back, that are not getting the certificate or the trophy, and those are the teens that we're trying to target with this program. So I would ask you to think about the young person who lives next door who maybe rakes the leaves of the elderly neighbor, or a teen that you saw do a walk to raise funds for cancer prevention who really put their whole heart into their effort. Those are the kinds of teens that we're trying to applaud.
Okay, so ages 12 to 19 are eligible anywhere in Alaska to be nominated for the Spirit of Youth Award. And how does one go about nominating someone?
It's very simple. You can go to spiritofyouth.org and just fill out a form online. It's just a few questions. It should only take about 5 minutes to complete. And once we receive your nomination, we'll send out a recognition packet to that young person to congratulate them. We'll send you a thank you letter for taking your time to make the nomination. And then they'll be recognized through their local school board for their activities. Now, the second piece of this is that we take those nominations and we actually share them with the media and give the media an opportunity to portray teens in a more positive way.
Okay, and then you give out 11 awards each year in 11 different categories, is that correct?
Well, so every young person who's nominated is recognized, and then we give out 2 awards in each of our categories. So it's actually 22 youth and youth groups who ultimately win the Spirit of Youth Award, and they're brought into Anchorage, and we have a big celebration in their honor, and it's an opportunity for community members and politicians and parents to all come together and applaud these young people.
So you said youth groups. You can nominate a whole group of kids, not just an individual.
Absolutely, and that's a good point to make, that the award goes to individuals as well as youth groups.
Okay, so you heard it here from Karen Zeman, the executive director at Spirit of Youth, and from Aviva Hirsch, a previous Spirit of Youth winner, who's now on the Teen Advisory Council at Spirit of Youth, and they're encouraging people to nominate someone that they know between the ages of 12 and 19 on October 18th, Alaska Day. Thank you so much for being here to tell us about this campaign.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That's Kids These Days producer Sarah Gonzalez talking with Aviva Hirsch and Karen Zeman of Spirit of Youth. Aviva Hirsch is also a member of the Alaska Teen Media Institute, or ATMI. That group of intrepid teenage reporters regularly contribute stories to Kids These Days. You'll be hearing reports from Aviva here in the future. And for the record, I produce an ongoing series of radio profiles about Spirit of Youth nominees that airs on this station and others throughout the state, and that work is separate from this program. Kids These Days is produced by Sarah Gonzalez. Sarah Gonzalez manages our website, that's kidsthesedays.org. Already, she's uploaded this whole program to our site, and throughout the week, she rolls out new pieces related to today's topic. Check it out regularly to find web extras and to see where the conversation goes after we sign off the air. You can also friend us through Facebook or follow us through Twitter. That way, you'll know right away when there's more for you to see. Jessica Cochran helped with the second half of today's program. Our theme music is composed and performed by Mind Over Matthew. I'm your host, Shanna Sheehy. Thanks for being with us today, and we'll see you next time on Kids These Days.
The ideas, opinions, and commentary you hear on Kids These Days are those of the host, guests, and contributors, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of its funders or broadcast partners. The Content Producers Guild is solely responsible for what you hear on this program. Kids These Days is made possible by a generous grant from the Association of Alaska School Boards and its Initiative for Community Engagement. Kids These Days is produced in partnership with KSKA, KRUA, and the UAA Department of Journalism and Public Communications.